Welcome to the Logistics Management Podcast Series. My name is Jeff Berman, and I'm Group News Editor for Logistics Management Magazine and the Peerless Media Supply Chain Group. Today, I'd like to welcome Jonathan Foster to our podcast. Jonathan serves as Principal Analyst for the Proxima Group, a Chicago-based strategic team of procurement specialists with more than 25 years of consultation and supply chain experience. Jonathan himself has more than 25 years of experience too, and he's approached the industry from various angles, working as a shipper, broker, and carrier. He has spent his career crafting and implementing successful logistics and supply chain strategies to improve operations, control costs, and drive revenue. Before getting into consulting, Jonathan worked for various companies supporting both the public and private sectors while also spanning the retail, manufacturing, and logistics services space. Hey, Jonathan, welcome to our podcast today.
Thank you, Jeff. Looking forward to it, sir.
Absolutely. It's great to have you. You know, Jonathan, when we spoke not all that long ago, you mentioned something along the lines of how people want to label 2020 as a year of COVID-19. But you said instead maybe it'd be better off being referred to as a year of disruption for a whole host of reasons, whether it be national disasters, COVID-related business openings and closings, mail-in ballots, or any other type of disruptive events. Why don't we sort of pick up off that theme, and maybe if you could help us sort of shed a light on what some of the other things, and as well as those things that you previously told me about, that could label 2020 as a sort of the year of disruption.
Absolutely. And I think it's a better picture if you look backwards and you look at that year. I look across the year, and COVID certainly played a significant portion of that disruption. But so did the wildfires, you know, in California, so did the hurricanes that hit the coast. I live in the Nashville area, and so did the tornadoes that went through. So if you look at each one of these events in isolation, you're kind of missing the holistic picture. Each one of these, for each bit of damage that you have done to property, you've got to rebuild it. Mm-hmm. In practical freight sense, that means you've got to have inbound. And before you have that inbound, you've got to make the raw materials, and you've got to do that. So we had so many disruptive events on top of COVID. And all of the carriers really, in pretty much every mode, have been disrupted. You saw the massive growth of e-commerce as a direct correlation of COVID. But that disrupted all of the carrier networks, not just the parcel, but a lot of trucking companies, as examples, support the parcel companies doing truckload between their hubs. So it was truly a year of disruption. And we feel it, you know, logistics practitioners particularly feel this and see this, you know, every day.
Oh, for sure. No question about it. Taking that a step further, if we can, when we look at e-commerce as it served as a disrupting force in 2020. I mean, it really was unlike anything we've ever seen, it probably in our logistics careers, right? I mean, we went from a hard stop in going to retail based locations, mall stores, whatever, to basically everyone shopping online for just about anything under the sun, ranging from paper products to groceries, you name it. What do you think about sort of how that all went down with e-commerce as a disruptive force?
Yeah, from the lens I look at it, I think it's nothing short of historic. I think the only thing correlation, and I'm attempt to be a historian of this business and of freight logistics as a whole. Really almost historic on the level of the use of sea container, which changed the whole industry. It's almost like deregulation that flipped the whole truckload market on its head. So what you saw was, depends on which stats you subscribe to, but somewhere around 30 to 50% growth in e-commerce. And it didn't happen over a year. It happened in a matter of weeks. Yeah. And it flipped everything. And you went from robust businesses for what, you know, a lot was called the non-essential at one point during the COVID to, you know, nothing, shut down. And that really changed so much. And, you saw companies, one of the things, as living in Nashville, I followed Dollar General pretty close. And, I don't think they would have been the forethought of most, people's minds, in most people's minds about e-commerce, but their, store side or store pickup, curbside pickup, you can order it online. You can pick it up. You've seen Target and Walmart and, certainly Amazon, it just explode with through sure. this e-commerce.
Absolutely.
And it has massive ripples, and it's disrupted. You had, people that goods that maybe had been okay. They'd been moving pretty solidly, but if they were like in the chemical industry, the cleanings, they spiked, three, four, five times.
Yeah.
And then you had others that dropped that same denominator, and that just threw balance problems, LTL, truckload, parcel, all of it. It was chaos.
Yeah.
We've been feeling it.
No question about it. And sort of sticking with that theme for a second, obviously there's a lot of talk right now about the COVID-19 vaccine as it relates to logistics and distribution efforts and challenges that come with that. When we think about the logistics and distribution efforts that are vaccine related, what do you identify as sort of some of the key trends and themes that really require the most amount of attention, as far as you can tell?
Well, I think you first got to look at it in a couple ways. First, the pressure that we were feeling throughout this, the collective U.S. supply chains hasn't really lifted. Yes, it's not retail season, but you're dealing with the consequence of that retail season where people bought so much online, and now reverse logistics is never been more important because of returns.
Right.
Recent announcements, Amazon, Walmart, Target, about how they're handling some of that, it's there. So you're coming into this, following this year of disruptions, now you're kind of dealing with an unintended consequence of that e-commerce growth. Well, now you start putting pressure about a vaccine distribution into that scenario. And I think the saving grace to me is that the type of vaccines and the way they were handled. So to me, the pressure came, of when I first heard the Pfizer announcement and the minus 80 and all our 60, 80, whatever it is, that seemed like a real constraint. And I thought that was going to stretch the resources, into almost a balloon scenario, and would it be able to hold? That was my biggest concern. Well, as Moderna was rolled out and it had the lower temperature requirement of 32, then you're dealing with that disruption. I mean, you're dealing with that easing of the pressure, if you will.
Sure, sure. That's a great point. But as we look ahead, and hopefully, in the not too far distant future, that is, when the vaccine distribution efforts are, they're complete and hopefully successful. Could you sort of shed some light on what you think perhaps some of the eventual logistics lessons learned may be?
Yeah. I to me, it's contingency planning. Before, a lot of companies had some form of contingency plan. And a lot of times companies I've been involved with in some way, it was an exercise just to make sure they check the box. But, if we've learned anything, and I was on a webinar a few months ago with a gentleman from the chemical industry, and he was talking about, because they've learned over the years from hurricanes, that to have multiple contingencies, contingency upon a contingency. And I think that mindset will cascade throughout supply chains, throughout every sector, if you will.
Yeah.
Because one plan is not enough. I think that is what we'll learn is, If this happens, you can't plan for every contingency, but you can at least have multiple in mind so that you can nimbly pivot because it really becomes about continuity of supply at some point, visibility and continuity.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and obviously, you know, we're clearly not out of the COVID woods. The outbreak is still basically raging, especially when you look at some of the increased numbers, unfortunately. Does that lend itself to any potential vaccine distribution challenges that could still be ahead of us? Or is it kind of keep your eye on the ball, one day at a time approach type of mindset?
I think it's a latter in kind of how this will reality play out. You don't know what you don't know at this point, but I think the planning of, you know, I'll come back to Moderna being rural America as an example. Well, that infrastructure exists in rural America. There's already some form of refrigeration capability that can sustain 32, you know. Sure. And then if you look at Metro America getting Pfizer, it allows you to, just like with carriers and freight, put the right assets in the right place in a more narrower scope. You can go, you can hit more people with a kind of finer tooth or finer point, if you will. And I think that helps. And I think ultimately you that's the plan. You work the plan. It makes a lot of sense. And then you go day by day to your latter point and just figure out what, as it comes in, be nimble, go.
Okay. Absolutely. And I know we talked about e-commerce a few minutes ago, and just sort of wanted to shift back for a second. You know, when we look at Parcel, when we look at Express, there was a lot of uncertainty in regards to holiday shopping constraints. You know, order by this date or your gift won't come, or your order won't come in time, and maybe a lack of presence under the tree, if you will. How would you say things ended up compared to what sort of some of the ominous assessments were heading into that period?
Well, I want to be like a cheerleader for our industry. I think given the constraints and the amount of disruptors, I think the industry and my fellow logistics practitioners did just a phenomenal job in execution. Were there misses? Yeah, there absolutely were. But given what we were up against as an industry, I thought we responded really well. And I think it should give the consumer confidence going forward. And I think we should, you know, collectively get almost a pat in the back, because it was our backs were clearly against the wall for multiple months. And the industry, it did well.
Yeah, no question about it. And that actually is a nice segue for something I know that we've also talked about before, which is simply the importance of supply chain and logistics at the table. And I guess in this case, it may be at the corporate boardroom table. Whereas in the past, you know, logistics was always viewed as something that's just there, something that just happens. But obviously, COVID really highlighted how it's so much more than that. And it really deserves a bit more acclaim, if you will. Can you jump into that for a bit, just to talk about sort of how the importance is only increasing and now it's becoming more widely recognized?
Absolutely. You know, at one point in my career, I was exposed to a chairman of the board who said that freight, that's the easy stuff. It should never go wrong, right? and for me, they've never seen, you know, it was, you've never been out on a road and seen congestion or seen a storm or seen, you know, looked at the ocean and seen that, you know, there might be a hurricane or there might be some kind of thing. It was kind of a naive statement. And I think what's happened is visibility of supply chain, when so much of a supply chain is in one regional area of the world and that regional area gets shut down, in essence, you can feel it. You can feel the change happening. But in addition to that, if you think about it, I think people didn't have really good visibility. They didn't really have control and they didn't have contingency plans. Okay. We saw that with pictures of empty shelves. And it was because, you know, all these things were, it was almost like groupthink, if you will. And there was a lot of things being done the same way. And I think what's highlighted in the seat of the table, coming back on point, is that you need to have alternative strategies. You need to have that contingency mindset, and you need to be visible to say, hey, it's not if this is going to happen, it's when something is going to happen. We don't know exactly what it is, but you need to hear us and we need to have that. You know, one of the greatest quotes that I've heard in our industry came from a former CEO of Expeditors. And I love this, the saying he said, you know, your markets are like waves and you can't control the waves, but you can control who you ride in on. To me, sure, that's your carriers, that's your brokers, that's your forwarders. It's whatever it is, and it's having that seat at the table to say, we're pretty important, we're the tip of the tail, but you got to listen to us. And I think that's been heard, and I think we'll see a significant shift as we go forward.
Let's hope that's the case, absolutely. Just one more here before we wrap up, Jonathan. You know, aside from the vaccine-related efforts, obviously, because, you know, they're front and center at the moment, what are some other aspects of the supply chain and logistics that, in your opinion, are only going to gain further traction as we move along in the coming years? Say, in for this purpose of this question, say, like, you know, the next 2 to 5 years or so.
Well, one of the things we speak about in our practice a lot is predictive success, building predictive success. And predictive success really starts with, having a data-based mindset, right? Having solid approach and process approach, embracing your carriers or your forwarders, your brokers strategically versus just tactically. So what I think we'll see evolve over the next few years is people invest in technology that helps them build or control their supply chains in a way, have better data intelligence, be able to implement more robust process and or execution, make more with little. I think you're going to see that, you know, big data has been the big buzzwords for the last few years in supply chain. But right. What I think COVID highlighted in a big way was the need for big data to be, it'd be more than a buzzword. Let's use the data. Let's become more intelligent. And I think what you're going to see over the next couple of years is that. And I think your relationships with those carriers are just going to become uber important.
That's a great way to put that. Really nice. Well, listen, Jonathan, we are at the end of our time for today's podcast. On behalf of Logistics Management Magazine and the Peerless Media Supply Chain Group, I'd like to offer a big thank you for joining us today.
Thank you very much for having me.
Absolutely. And for everyone out there listening, if you want to add us to your podcast library, please feel free to do that. Just subscribe to Supply Chain 24/7 wherever you get your podcast. Thanks, everybody, and we'll talk to you next time. Have a great day.